The Process, a podcast about creativity and experimental music. In the world of experimental music, outcomes and accolades for creators can be uncertain and at times seem far and few between. Therefore, creators and practitioners of experimental music must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over, the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one creator and their music. Understanding how and why they create can inform aspiring creatives and help audiences better understand and navigate experimental music. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of experimental music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process.
Hello, my name is Eric Salazar, and I'm the clarinet guy. I am going to be your guest host for this episode of The Process. I am a performer and composer and a public speaker. I'm also the director of Forward Motion, a contemporary chamber ensemble based in Indianapolis. And I run my own successful music business, The Clarinet Guy, LLC. Most of my work is performing, either as a soloist or with my chamber ensemble, and then I also do entrepreneurship trainings and public speaking engagements with my program Networking for Introverts, where I teach shy people how to network to expand their work. And then I think I just want to say that my ensemble, Forward Motion, has been going strong for 7 years, and we have commissioned too many works to count and premiered them and produced studio recordings. So they are my favorite group to play with. But enough about me. We're here to listen to music. And today we're going to be listening to CRP, East Coast Remix, from Doug Bielmeyer's new album, Music for Billionaires. And now this is actually a remix of an earlier track on the album, Corporate Responsibility Pledge. And what it does is it combines elements from that original track and then adds all of these neat electronic implements. To me, it sounds like electro trance minimalism. It's just this wonderful fusion of the rhythm of the minimalism from the original track, and it's remixed into this wonderful dance-like track. And I've got two favorite moments that I'll prime the listener for, and that is, there is this delightfully jarring silence, like this well-placed silence a couple minutes into the track that for me just sort of prepares your ear for the next territory that we're going to go into. And then I do have to admit that I love the ending, because it's this nice twinkly little fade out ending that's just delightful. And this listening to this track makes me wonder, why don't we have more remixes of classical music? But let's go ahead and listen to CRP, East Coast Remix.
We'll be right back.
Well, thanks, Doug, for inviting me to be a guest host on The Process. I've been on here with my recent album, Sally, but it's fun to be on the other side, sitting in the other chair, if you
Sitting in the
will.
other chair. I was excited to talk to you about Sally, and that'll probably come up organically again today too, because just spending time mixing that and just seeing how you develop that and work that, that definitely was like an inspiration for when I was going through this process myself and just being like, okay, this is what Eric did on this track or whatever. Don't worry, there's no like copyright infringement. I'm just saying, definitely inspiration.
Oh, yay. Well, I'm happy to hear that. And yeah, I would love to talk more about me, but this episode's about you. So let's talk about this track, CRP East Coast Remix. I think just opening question is, what is the inspiration or the story behind this track in particular?
I think some of the tracks on the album have this deep rooted sort of like, I had this emotion or I had this thing and I created some music to work through it, because definitely like music for me is the, some people scream at a wall, some people go for long walks, which I do too, or long bike rides or jog or whatever. But one of my outlets is definitely music. And that wasn't this track. This track wasn't about working through some, something difficult or even something positive. It was, hey, like I got this idea from earlier, and then I had stuff on the album that I did, and I'd like to like rework that, re-envision that. And so that's why CRP, which is Corporate Responsibility Pledge, the remix, like the remix, and that's what I wanted to do. And I think maybe that's the inspiration for the title, is this idea of like we live in a like reboot kind of remix cover song society, or like commercial kind of landscape where everything is kind of like it's a reboot. It's from the creators of, you hear that often when there's like something new. It's like, oh, it's from these other people that did these things that were really cool. So that was kind of like the joke of it, or the snark of it a little bit, is like it's the East Coast remix. And I went back and forth with being, should it be East Coast or West Coast remix? I don't know. But and I think it's written different places in different places. So the PR people and like the label are really upset that there's different names for the track. But yeah, this idea that it's like, let's take, or let's harvest what I've already made and sort of repurpose it, or rework it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like, at least for me, and it sounds like based on what you said, this is similar for you too. I feel like sometimes we compose the music that we need. You know what I mean? But that also sometimes feels like always taking your vitamins or eating your broccoli. And so it's fun to hear that this track, which is the last track on the album, this is just Doug having playtime. It's eating the
Absolutely.
cake and the pizza and not taking your vitamins.
And that's great that you like mentioned that too, like this idea that you're working through something. This was like all the paints on the floor, just like everything that I've used so far. What is it? Okay, there was red paint, there was this, there was that, and like in specifically it's like, okay, here was this track that I had made, like a decade ago, that had this like really cool drop idea in it, this like bass and silence idea. And then I'm like, the CRP stuff, the motion from that, the violin, the clarinet, that motion, that kind of minimalist motion you mentioned, like that's all there. And I'm like, what if, what if you put these two things together? And Eric, like sometimes when it's like you put two things together, you're like, absolutely not. Like that does not, like those two things should not go together, But in this case, I was like, oh, I think there's like a fit, there's like a connection.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about, because it is, as you mentioned, it is a remix. So you're taking material that already exists, and I really would love to hear more like classical music remixes, just putting that out into the universe. But what is that process like? How is that different? So I guess what I'm asking is, how was the creation of the remix different from the creation of the original corporate responsibility pledge?
That's an interesting thing. So, like, whenever we say like remixing classical music, I get like really afraid. And the reason I get afraid is because when I was growing up, I remember like driving in the car with my parents, and they had this, I forget, I don't know the name of it, but it was basically like great classical pieces. So, like Beethoven's Ninth or Fifth or whatever was in there. Just some Tchaikovsky, some other things like the big romantic, composers. And this was like in the 80s. So they also had just then overlaid a drum beat on top of it. So it was like dun 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 dun, kick, snare, kick, snare. And it wasn't even like a cool beat where you're like, oh, that's, it's like this or that. It was just like kick, snare. It was like an 80s drum machine. And so all the songs, all the, these classical, romantic era masterpieces had this like kick and snare on them. And I think that was this idea of like bringing the majesty of these masterpieces to the average listener, And I feel like listeners are really smart, and I think especially for people who can like who people who are looking for music, who are actively going out and searching for it, I think they're really smart, and I don't want to like play down to them or like have lower expectations for them. And so I guess that's what I was saying is the trap with like creating this track is I'm going to put drums in this, and I'm going to take a piece that was more of like a minimalist piece. And like with minimalism, it's about the motion that inherently is written within the melody, and the way the melody kind of expands, that's sort of the rhythm. So you don't need drums, you don't need other percussion often. It's that the music itself propels itself. And so I'm like, well, if I'm going to add drums to this, I can't have it be the 1980s, drums. So with that in mind, I just wanted to be really careful to not make cheesy classical or classical for the masses. And then I also didn't want to just make like lame dance music. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to find that like nice in between where you're like, oh, this was this cool minimalist piece, and now it's under the lens of maybe something more like commercial dance music or IDM or something like that. So that was for me, that was like the real dangerous territory, and kind of the fun part of this is that like this could get really cheesy really quickly. I'm reminded of Jordan, Jordan Munson, our fellow friend, composer, artist, great human being. He would always say that there's like a fine line. We were mixing some vocals, and I was putting more and more reverb on the vocals, and he's like, there's like a fine line between like the vocals of the track and Enya. And he said, we just have to stay like a little bit left. Not by the way, I love Enya. It's awesome stuff. But like he was just saying, like he was making that, he was drawing that line in the sand, saying like, I don't want to go that far. I want it to still stay in this genre or this realm.
That's so cool. So you mentioned that it's you are hearing this as dance music. I was curious regarding the rhythm, like taking those minimalism, like self propelling minimalist lines and using that as rhythm. Do you hear this track, the remix, more so as dance music or as listening music?
Well, it's interesting. You're a fantastic track from Sally, Watch Me Grandpa. That track, it starts with this really, really basic rhythm. It's just like this, like, and even and so that doesn't have drums in it. That track doesn't have drums, but it instantly has this like motion to it, and then you're using like melody and stuff to kind of push us forward and kind of lead us forward. So I think that's what that's to me what the minimalism part of it is that you can create, like you said, this motion without having to, like, you know, have four on the floor with like a kick or something like that. You can create pulse and you can create motion. So I approached it more of, if the minimalism is already going to create that motion, is that I don't have to use the drums or the percussion or any of the electronic elements to push that motion further. Instead, I was like, what if I try to make that be like a counter anchor? So you have this, like, the wheel of motion, you know, that perpetual motion of the minimalistic parts being sort of anchored back with this, like, you know, really heavy kick and snare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in so many genres, there's like kick and snare lust where people just like are like, I need to find the perfect kick and snare. And, like, you know, it is a genre or it's not. Like, it's not hip hop if it does, or it's not trap, or it's not it's not this genre if it doesn't have this kick or snare. And so I did a lot of that too, which was a lot of fun to just kind of sit there and be like, all right, do I have like the ultimate kick sound? Do I have the ultimate snare sound? So I think that was the thing, is that the electronic components, it was kind of nice. They didn't actually have to be the motion and the momentum and set the tempo, because the performances, you know, by Unheard of Ensemble from Corporate Responsibility Pledge, that motion was already there in the writing and their performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of Unheard of Ensemble, and you're just talking about, you know, hunting for these electronic implements. So we describe that as electroacoustic music when we're combining, you know, acoustic instruments with electronics. What's your favorite part about being an electroacoustic music composer?
Yeah, it was interesting. That question, I was thinking a little bit about that question, because you had sent that to me prior, which was awesome, which is why Eric is such a great host. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is electroacoustic music. And I hadn't thought of that term in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what this is. He's absolutely right. It's electroacoustic music. And yeah, there's all these things I love about it, but it's weird now. It's kind of like it's the thing I do now. That's the way I'm expressing myself, is I'm using, I guess to way back up, I think it would be really weird if I just wrote a string quartet for me.
Yeah.
By the way, that's not weird at all. Like that's great. But for me to just be like, let me sit down and write this just acoustic piece, or like piano and clarinet, which is, you know, lovely combination. Pretty much anything with clarinet is pretty lovely, right? Yeah. but you know what I mean? Like, just sit down and do that. That would be kind of like weird to me. I would just be kind of like, ooh, like, oh, okay. You know, I'm going back to do that. Not going back like in a negative way, just like, oh, I'm going to this other place. So for me now, it's like, no, this is the thing I do. And I think that goes back to your question, is like, what do I love about electroacoustic music? It's just the sound world. It's the possibilities. It's the it's the limitless possibilities. You know, one of the things you do really awesome, Eric, is, you know, with your clarinets, you will often use like effects pedals in your performance. And, you know, sometimes it's a real subtle thing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's like a lot of distortion and it's really cool. But even just sometimes adding a little bit of delay or a little bit of effect, or a lot of it, it's just like, here's the clarinet, but now all the other places that you can go by just like changing slight effects, putting it in reverb or not in reverb. So for me, it just adds another layer of being like, it's going to be the clarinet, it's going to be loud, and it's going to play these pitches. It's now, but it's also in a room, or it's in a cave, or it's at the bottom of a well, and then it's distant, and then it's coming closer, and it's going from left to right, and it's moving. So you can start to like make all these other definitions. It's like writing an AI prompt, right? It would be like, the AI prompt is like, you know, clarinet, you know, and then it's like, clarinet, that's loud. and then clarinet that's loud and is also in a cave and is moving left to right and slowly gets brighter and brighter, right? Like it just becomes a more like an AI prop. Sorry, I've been doing like way too much AI lately. but like that's the thing, like in a prompt, like the better prompts are the ones that are more and more specific. And not to say that music has to be like super specific, but I think for me, I love electroacoustic music because it allows you to just add other layers of sort of detail.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like with electroacoustic music, for me, I mean, you mentioned my use of pedals. For me, it's just another member of the ensemble, kind of. Like it's another instrument within the instrumentation. And, you know, maybe to use like the string quartet analogy, maybe that instrument, quote unquote, is just resting for most of the piece. Like maybe they're tacit.
Yeah.
But then when you press the pedal, like then that instrument joins in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of view it like that.
I love that idea because then it's like two, you could have a whole orchestra on the stage, but they're behind your back. So when you press the pedal, then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh man, there's a whole orchestra up there with the performer.
Yeah.
Like, and so you can do those really like kind of, you know, performative kind of theater type stuff as well.
Yeah. Last question from me. How do you think this album, you know, turned out, or what did you learn anything? What do you think about that?
I think it turned out horribly. I think it was a disaster and I just want to get it past me. It was awesome. It was great. I'm definitely in that like post honeymoon phase of it. Mm. So I'm, you know, promoting it, talking about it, performing it. And, if I had to mix it again, I would, you know, pull my hair out. Even more so. I really enjoyed it. And especially with CRP East Coast Remix, I learned that it's going to be okay if I want to start mixing genres and I want to start taking things from one context and putting them in another. Mm-hmm. I think definitely with a lot of our education and a lot of our, you know, community, this idea of like classical is over here and, you know, electronic music is over here. I think you alluded to that earlier, like, why isn't there more remixes of classical music? I think that's what I learned, is that you can do it. And it's just about kind of staying true to both of the genres. So not making it like bad dance music or like, you know, hooked on classics, hooked on classical, like finding that middle ground where they both are authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I really did enjoy how intentional the remix was, because I mean, I've heard some classical remixes, but they're like you described. It's essentially the material that is set to a rhythm track. And while I understand wanting to maintain the integrity of the form of the original classical piece, I get that. It's also, I'm kind of like, if you're going to remix it, then do so intentionally, you know, see how far you can go with that remix, so that it's still recognizable, but also this new wonderful creation. And I feel like you definitely achieved that. Yeah.
Well, Eric, this has been awesome, man. Thanks for coming on and being an excellent guest host, truly excellent guest host. but before we wrap everything up, I'm sure everyone listening wants to hear more about what you're doing, what current projects are going on, because I'm sure it's a lot. You're always doing, you know, 10 things at once and doing them well, which is a whole other skill that you have. So tell us about what you're up to and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, whereas you're, you know, in your post-honeymoon phase with this album, I would describe that I'm on a break with my Sally album. So, like,
you're seeing other albums.
It was released in July and I'm so happy with it. And whenever you release an album, it's like what you're describing, you know, leading up to the release, it's just so much time and investment into it. Then it gets released and you just need to like kind of back away and like, hopefully you're going to perform the material, but you really need to get away from the actual recordings, because that part of the process is so objective and neurotic mm-hmm. and all the feelings. Yeah. But I am very happy with how Sally turned out. Mm-hmm. And the most listened to track, actually, according mm-hmm. to my statistics, is one that we did on our episode together. Kissed by Moonlight is the most listened to one. Really? So yeah, that's pretty neat.
And that was a great track, too, because you kind of went out into a more... That was like the least clarinet track, right? You mm-hmm. were like kind Correct. Of experimenting with all the other kind of software instruments that you use. And,
Yeah, it was that was fun when we were mixing it together because you know my music and you had put the clarinet, you know, at the front because that's my instructions for everything else. Yeah, exactly. Like I literally have told you that for every single other thing. And I was like, actually, put the clarinet in the back on this one.
Was this the one, too, where you were saying it was, like, on a stage or something like that? Like, you wanted it further back on a stage? Because I remember one time that was a direction. And
As if it's, like, you know, off stage. Like, it, literally in the wings was kind of how I envisioned it. So, you know, Sally's out. People are listening. And I'm, you know, performing the material. But I'm, at this point, like, the marketing is done. It's out. Yeah. And I get to kind of move on to other things. My ensemble, Forward Motion, we're performing quite a bit. We're looking at doing some interesting projects. Next year, we're hoping to do a hiking concert where we take the audience on a hike, end at a destination, and then present a performance of nature-related music. And then I'm also consulting arts organizations locally in Indianapolis and then just presenting more and more of my Networking for Introverts workshop. I'm going to be presenting that. I have a special slot at the Sphinx Conference up in Detroit in January where I'll be presenting Networking for Introverts like basically 2 hours before the opening plenary speech. So it's like, come to my workshop, learn how to network, and then you get turned loose at the conference.
Thanks to Eric, fantastic clarinetist, good friend, and excellent host. Please be sure to check out Eric Salazar's new album, Sally, available streaming everywhere and on the Sheva Collections. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out other episodes in the series. And as always, like, subscribe, or leave a comment on your preferred podcasting app. And as always, I'm your host, Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and this has been The Process.